Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we're here in Greenville. Stay tuned and be blessed. I know God got a blessing with your name on it. Stay tuned.
Well, praise Him and good evening to you. Good afternoon, good morning, good day. I don't know what time you tuned in to the broadcast, but God bless you. We love you. And this is the day that the Lord made. I'm going to rejoice in it and be glad therein. I'm here this evening with my wife, lovely wife, Evangelist Charlene Stops. How you doing over there? I'm waking you up. Okay. All right. I'm doing good, I'm sure. And how you doing? I'm doing. I used to be honey and baby. I ain't them no more. That's what marriage is sometimes. But it's a good thing. We still love my wife. And I'm sure she loves me, but God is good. But anyway, we want to talk to you this evening about something that I think, what I want to talk about, that I think that everybody should know about. I really think so. I think that it's something that everybody should know about. Everybody. I think so. And that's how to live through suffering. We're all going to suffer. But how do you live through it? You live through the suffering. How do you do that? How do you overcome suffering? You know, nobody wants to suffer. But how do you overcome it? How do you get across that suffering? How to live through suffering? I was just talking this morning when someone is sick that you can't feel that sickness. They may tell you, and you may say, I understand, but you really don't understand because it's not you. But how do we live through it? You know, the doctor visits, the shortness of breath, the weight or the gaining of weight. How do you live through that? The money cut off, you lose your job. How do you get through it? But I come up with a solution out of the Bible. Give your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, you call out to God for help, and He helps. He's a good Father. that way. But don't forget, he also responsible father and won't let you get by with sloppy living. God ain't gonna do that. And no matter who we are, God will hold us accountable. Honey, you see that up there? What is it? Read it again for me.
You call out to God for help, and he helps. He's a good father in that way. But don't forget, he's also responsible. And I won't let you get by.
Now, I'm saying that in this sense, I'm like, we and we gluttonous, we gain weight, our sugar go up, all change, everything. Our blood pressure changed. My blood pressure was 196 over 126 back in 2006. 07, I believe it was. And today it was like 137 or 77, something like that. But the reason was I got callous. I was eating all kinds of things, staying up all time of night. And God is a God that holds you and I accountable. You with me, Sonny? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
God holds us accountable. When we don't do what we should do, that we know there are going to be some what? Complications. Mm-hmm. There are going to be some suffering. And we bring it on ourselves. So tonight we want to talk about how we going to go through that. How do you get through the suffering? How do you get through it? How do you get through the suffering? How do you suffer now? Say, that's what I want to talk. How do you get through that suffering that you don't want to go through? I was telling my wife today, no one wants to be sick. Not even you. Not you, not I, no one wants to be sick. And to tell someone that's sick, I understand. And it's not you. You may sympathize, don't understand. But how do a sick person get through? How do we get through it? Let's take a look at something here. How do we get through it? Let's just take a look at something. I want to see. He said, you call out to God when you're suffering. You call out to him. Lord, help me. And what he does, he helps you. He's a good father. That way, he's that kind of God. He that helps me. If I'm wrong, he'll help me. That's what you do when you're suffering. Call God. Look what it says in verse 18. What does it say?
Your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead and empty-headed life you grew up in.
See, I talked about that last night, how about Christmas and Santa Claus and all that. But not only that, how many other things that I was in and didn't know no better? I mean, I didn't know no better. I was in it, but I didn't know no better. Have you ever been in anything you didn't know no better?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah. In it, but don't realize how I got in it. I'm in it. Started smoking cigarettes. Nobody made me do that. I just did it. And I wound up smoking for 20-some years. And then God delivered me.
Amen.
I smoked until God saved me. Maybe not 12, but I started smoking about 12 years old. And God saved me at 30. So that's all since this was 20 years, right? 20 years. Drinking, I didn't drink liquor, I drank wine. That homemade wine they used to make down here. I used to drink that. And then I, in New York, I started drinking that cotton sour and that bourbon and that Smirnoff gin. And, you know, I got there. Mm-hmm. And God had to deliver me. If someone listening to me now, you done got someplace that you don't want to be. You done got there.
Mm-hmm.
You done got to a place that you don't want to be. Done got to a place that you don't want to be. You're doing some things. You don't want to do it, but you're doing it.
Yep.
How do you get out of it? Well, I say, call God.
Mm-hmm.
Give your life to Jesus. He wants to bring you back. He don't get no pledge out of destroying you.
Mm-hmm.
Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe it's the third verse from the Message Bible. What does it say?
He paid with Christ's sacred blood. Mm-hmm. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb.
He did that for me.
Mm-hmm.
He did that for all of us. Mm-hmm. How do I get out of my suffering? Is what? Look to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about it, have you ever suffered the way Christ did?
Mm-hmm.
I know I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The brutality that was inflicted upon him,
mm-hmm.
the way they whipped him and scourged him, I mean, just the way they did Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I've suffered for not like that. And I told you this morning, earlier this morning, about 5 o'clock. You know what? When I look at Christ, the way he suffered, I suffered nothing like him. The way Christ suffered, I suffered not even a third the way Christ suffered. Not even a half of what he suffered. And when I look at him, if he could go through that, the Bible said his own family, you know, they didn't have nothing to do with it. At one point, all of the disciples forsook him. I know we talk about Peter denying, but the scripture said all his disciples cut and run, they forsook him.
Right.
And his worst tragedy. I go through a lot, and I tell you I do, but of course you know about it. But what gives me the ability to make it, I look at Christ. I look at how he suffered for me. You know, one of my sons told me that, what am I waiting on to die? And then he said he completely agreed that I'm dead. That hurt. But when I look at Jesus, how he did so much for them, and they crucified him. Crucified him. That gives me hope that I can go through. When I look at what they did for Jesus, what would you like? Anything you'd like to say about
that? Well, knowing that Jesus suffered as much as he did, and who knows what to struggle with.
Whatever. You're my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. It
wasn't all.
No, it wasn't. Knowing that those who are struggling and suffering, whatever it is you're suffering with, I think the best way to get out or to go through it is to look to Jesus who suffered much more than any of us did.
Okay, I am yawning on radio. But God is good to me. The scripture says, when you suffer, don't just think you suffer by yourself. Christ already suffered for you.
Mm-hmm.
And more, 9 times out of 10, his suffering has always been much greater than mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if Christ came through it, so can I.
Mm-hmm.
It may be hard, but I can make it. I can make it.
Mm-hmm.
I can make it. I can make it. If Christ, the Bible said he paid with Christ his what?
Sacred blood.
God did that for me. So what I'm going through, I know Christ already paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know on the end, I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a temporary setback. Because I'm going to come out of this thing. I'm going to come out victorious. Over there in the next verse, it says what?
Even though it has only lately, at the end of the ages, become public knowledge, God always knew he was going to do this for you.
Did you get it, baby?
Mm-hmm.
God knows that he's going to bring you out. You don't know it, but God knows it. And see, that's the consolation we get by reading the Bible. That no matter what I go through, I know at the end I'm going to win. You don't hear me, do you?
I know.
No matter what I go through, at the end, I know I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get out of it. And God didn't think about it. It's already, it's predestined,
right,
before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
That you would be a well, my friend. And I know you're suffering now. But the suffering that you're going through now is not going to be compared with the glory that God. Amen. Let's look at something else. The next verse says what?
It's because of the sacrifice of Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God.
Did you hear that? See, that's what we're talking about tonight. No matter what you're going through right now, the consolation is God has a future for you, and it's better than what you're going through.
Amen.
Look, even if I die, I know heaven is gain. Even if I die in suffering, I know that God got something better for me. I'm going to live in a glorified body. I'm never, listen, if this body don't get healed, be back in this body again. Let me go to this phone. Good evening, God bless you. It's in 1 Peter chapter 17, verse 21. 17, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 through 21. And I'm reading this through the Message Bible.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Also, does this apply, you know, where it says Jesus, one of the Paul's letters says, there's no temptation which is not common to man, but the Lord will provide safe provision for a escape.
Which is not common to man, but says that God will also make a way to escape. Yes, that's what it means. No matter what you're going through, if you look to God, you know, now it's hard, it's probably painful, sometimes it's shameful, but when we look to God, other than the problem, that's how we get through it. Because we know he got a better place for us.
Yeah, so psychologically, maybe, how would you pray without maybe entwining yourself so much with the problem you're praying about? Okay, so say it was an addiction to cigarettes. I mean, you don't want to wrap your prayer too much into the addiction either, right?
Well, George Meyer said something that I think is such, it has such potency with it. She said if you're smoking cigarettes or whatever, even with one in your hand, you get ready to put it in your mouth, you need to start thanking God for, Lord, taking that taste from me, taking that desire from me. Thank you for making me whole, that I won't be through this anymore. I think that even is not what you are.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I think sometimes, like, even psychologically, like, I can swear to self-help. One of the things I remember was there was a guy that was a Holocaust survivor, and I guess they just cut him off, you know, just like skin and bone. And he said every time someone asked him about it, he talked about it, it just, like, grated on him and was, like, very, you know, it's almost like we lived it, and he decided anybody about it again. And that kind of stuff is probably sometimes maybe it's better, like I said, to reference what you believe will happen rather than talk about, oh, I'm stuck with cigarettes. This is that was an example, right? Like kind of maybe speak to the miracle.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with a lot of times we got to start thinking out in advance of what we want. Don't wait until we get it. Because sometimes if you're looking at where you are, it's a pitiful situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a miserable situation. It's not pleasant. It's not comfortable. So if you look at that, quite naturally, it's going to make you miserable. So you got to look beyond that. And that's what looking at, like I was telling my wife this morning, one of my kids almost said he wanted me to die. And he was looking, recently. And that he agreed with it, right? But if I looked at that, I mean, I would be so distraught. I would be so hurt. But I can't look at that. I know he said that, but I got to look way beyond that because I know God, he can't look. He said that about me, but he might die before I do. We don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like yesterday I got a call from his mother, and she said to me, she asked me for his number, and I didn't have it. I just died. Now, you just said you wanted me to die. Now, here's your aunt in her 60s. And she's deep.
Yeah.
And I mean, the ideal is we got to look to God and not look at our situations.
Right. I mean, you could take, my sister, my sister-in-law, her, I think the, one of the people I lived, the other person, but you know what I mean? There was like the disparity in the age
But you can't listen, Joe. Even though they say it, you can't dwell on it. You know, because you know, it's like I tell people, my wife and I were discussing, a person has a chronic sickness, whatever it might be, to them, I understand. But I don't understand, I might sympathize, because I don't have it. And the moral I'm saying, you can't tell a person how they feel, because you don't have what they have. But you can tell them, look to God. And that is up to them. You can't make them do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's up to them, each individual.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the key.
Yeah, but that's also arrogant, too. But, I don't know what it's like. But remember the people that shortchanged the church, the husband and wife, and that?
Yes.
And
she died.
Healthy, so you gotta be careful
what you do within the context of the Lord, too. Exactly.
You know,
it's like it's also a form of arrogance. You know, even Herod, right? I mean, it's the one thing of assumption. Yeah. Well, I was just telling my wife this morning, I know someone that had cancer about 12 years ago, and their spouse was saying to them, they need to do this, they need to do that, and they'll be okay. I mean, tell them, they're doing. But now here they are. They have sickness. And you know, see, it's easy for me to look at the next man and see what he's doing wrong in my sight because of his problem. But it's so hard and difficult for me to see it when he hits home. You know what I'm saying tonight? It's like God gave us power over all the unclean spirits. And they could not heal that man in the ninth chapter of Mark. And the disciples went to Jesus, why could we not do it? And the father said to him, Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And the father said to Jesus, when I do believe, pray for my unbelief. So we all have a belief, but there is a unbelief sometimes greater than the belief. And exactly. That's what the man said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with it. Because how many people go to church where you get to agree that they have little faith? Everybody wants to believe they got this king size faith, but a lot of people are suffering. But the only reason they're suffering is because their unbelief is greater than their belief.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus told the disciples, they asked him, said, well, what can we get to them out? He said, this guy goes out for prayer and fasting. Now, that's easy said than done. But how many people will actually lay down that faith?
Well, actually,
put the refrigerator on strikes, off limits. Most people just got to have that water. They got to have that coffee. That's what Jesus said. And so we don't want to do that. And then he tells us in Isaiah 58, the fasting is being considerate about your brother.
Hmm.
How can you? Here I am. I'm laying down a plate. But I got a brother that I know lost his job. I got a brother that I know his rent is due. And I have the money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't do it. God said that's the kind of fast he wants. People that are considerate of each other.
Right. So some people go for the traditional fast, but also a fast where you get out of your own zone a little bit, look outward, and try to, like you said, take notice of
That's true. That's true. Amen. Well, Joe, we thank you so much. And
it could also be in that parable that I listened to, but you know how that might apply to what you say.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, you're accountable to your talents, and I still need a little bit better of a grasp of like, oh, I'll take away the two talents you gave, you know, and then see what you said is going to happen.
Thank you, Jim. All right, bless you. Oh, yeah, you know, the truth is the matter is. We suffer and we I think we take the I guess it's called the high road, the easy road. The Bible said if you're gonna be with Christ, you're gonna suffer. You're gonna have some times of wants. You're gonna have some times that you're gonna have a need.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta praise God anyway.
Amen.
And that's what he's talking about tonight. That we got to learn to give God praise, even when things don't look well.
Amen.
Even when we don't have what we need. I know myself, there's no way I could get through a lot of things if I just look at the reality of it. Sometimes I got to look beyond the reality. The facts. Sure. It's not the reality, but the facts.
Mm-hmm.
The facts may be that I don't have a job. The facts may be that my rent is due.
Mm-hmm.
The facts may be that I've been looking for a job and I've been denied.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, Christ says he got something greater for me. It's hard for me to believe that.
Sure.
It's very hard for me to accept. Sometimes I think that this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that we're talking about tonight, how to get over that suffering. And the only way to get past that suffering is to look to Jesus Christ.
True.
You can't look to yourself and get beyond it. Let's take a look at something else right here. Over here. I ain't gonna say that. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. Now, I put that there. I talked about it last night. Now, what does that mean? We've been redeemed. Now, so we shouldn't take the same. Go ahead. Read it.
Number one, to purchase back, to regain possession of by payment of a stipulated price, to repurchase. If a man sell a dwelling house in a walled city, then he may redeem it within a whole year after it is sold.
So, let's put that in perspective, right? If I've been redeemed already, originally, and I've been redeemed by Christ,
mm-hmm.
and Christ is my master,
mm-hmm.
if I'm going through something, I am the product of my master.
Mm-hmm.
So if he redeemed me, he's able to furnish my needs.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, let's say if you redeem a servant, a slave, right,
mm-hmm.
and you buy and you purchase him, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of the time, it's like I never own a Rolls Royce now. I'm just talking about what I heard. I don't know this to be true, but they say before you can buy a Rolls Royce. You got that. You got to prove that you can maintain it.
Mm.
If you just had the money to buy it, they say you can't buy it. And that's what makes it so distinctive, a brand new Rolls Royce. So if a man has enough money to purchase a Rolls Royce, and he can prove that he can maintain it for X amount of years, well, then I got to believe this about God,
mm.
that if he redeemed me, that he's able to maintain me.
Hmm.
He's able to continue to keep my maintenance up.
Right.
Now, my maintenance might be in the Rolls Royce, oil change, a tire change, a transmission tune-up. But I got to remember that God redeemed me. And he already proved that my heart, if it goes bad, he can repair it because he made me.
Okay.
If my sugar goes up, he can repair it because he made me. See, that's what we got to get to the place that we believe that God is sufficient to maintain whatever's wrong in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what takes you through the suffering. Because if you didn't have that belief, how would you make it? Now, what is it? Point number two about redeem, what is that?
Hence, specifically, a loss to recall as an estate or to regain as mortgage property by paying what may be due.
Hold on. So in a legal sense, when you can redeem, that means you can recall, get back the estate that was lost.
Mm-hmm.
To get the mortgage paid off. Because you can redeem it by paying what?
By paying what they need to by force of the mortgage.
No matter what it is, because I've been redeemed by Christ, my cholesterol's up.
Mm-hmm.
They may found out that my blood count was down.
Mm-hmm.
They may found a scar somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to believe that my Savior is greater and stronger and better than what any technology there is.
Mm-hmm.
That even if there's a scar on my liver, I got to believe that God is greater and bigger enough to heal that scar
mm.
and to make me whole. I got to believe that God can put me back in right performance. Even though my transmission might be gone.
Mm.
But God got enough warranty on me to bring me back to health.
Right.
Make me back whole again.
Right.
See, that's what I'm saying. Our Savior, even though Satan has a promissory note on you, we got to believe that God got a bond on us,
mm.
that we indebted to him, and that even though my sugar count is up, even though my high blood, the blood pressure's up. Even though my mortgage is due, even though it seems that I got a dispossess. Not seem, maybe I need, like the lady that I was in, who read about it, the lady had a dispossess, and they sent the people out to put out the house,
mm-hmm.
and she stood firm,
mm-hmm.
and God worked a miracle, and she kept the house.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to believe that. Even though that, what's called, the people that's going to repossess your property, but you got to believe that the God that you serve is able to put a halt to that. And if he doesn't, he got something better to give you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and say something about that.
God is the one that, I think what brings to mind is what your friend told us a couple of Saturdays ago. He said, God made you, so if there's anything wrong, God is the one that can fix it. Even if it's sickly, God can fix it. If it's evil, God can fix it. Because God is the one that made you. So if you have a problem, God is the one. So that brings you right back to God redeeming you. He brought you back so he can handle the maintenance.
He can do it. And number three, what I say?
To ransom, liberate, or rescue from captivity or bondage.
God can pay the ransom. He, look, you may not have insurance for you for the hospital, but your God, his capacity, that he can liberate you from bondage.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have I seen in my life when I've seen no way?
Mm.
But I looked to God, and because I was redeemed, I was his responsibility. You know what I think tonight, honey? One of the greatest faults that people have, this is my opinion, standing looking to God for that rescue, they start looking to themselves and to medical assistance. They keep going to financial institutions to borrow money, and they keep going to different doctors to get different, you know, opinions when they fail to go to God.
Mm.
You know, the guy in the Old Testament had a disease in his foot.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of going to God, he went to the doctor. And the Bible said he died.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't go to God.
Mm-hmm.
I say today, the way to get rid of that suffering is go to God. Give your life to him.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about that?
The only way you're going to get it. The only way you're going to be able to make it through is if you're totally in line with God. Because God's only one that can be able to help you get through it.
Like Joe mentioned a few minutes ago about the talents.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you seem limited in your capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But God gave you what he wants you to have.
Sure.
And if you learn to get busy with that, that you do that, you'll see that he'll take you to the next level. How did the guy with five talents multiply that 10? He used what he had.
Right.
How did the guy with the two multiply and get five? Or the three? He used what he had.
Right.
The guy with one, he didn't do nothing with it. Why? Because he was looking to himself. He didn't look what he said. I knew that he was a hard master.
Yeah.
So he didn't look to God to be a nice, kind, generous God.
Yeah.
He looked to God to be an evil, deceitful, unwilling, and unfaithful God. And he got just what he looked for. He lost that one. And so when you're in trouble, rather than looking at God as being cruel and insistent, you need to look to God as a loving, kind Father.
Mm-hmm.
And say, Lord, even if I got myself in, Lord, I got myself in it, but I know you can get me out of it. Like someone sung the song and said, stop telling your problems about God. Or start telling God about your problems. Tell your problems about your God. Because
mm-hmm.
he's bigger.
Mm-hmm.
He's bigger than my suffering. I told you that this morning.
Yep.
The only thing that I got against people because they don't believe the word. The hospitals, the healing, I mean, not the hospitals. More people die in the hospital and in the doctor's office and on the way to the doctor and in the ambulance than they do in church. Church is where your healing is at. Now, people do die in church, but there are less that die in church than die in the hospital or the ambulance or the doctor's office. Isn't that amazing? So, we want y'all to know today that God is good. We want you to know that if you're going through something, now David said, look to the hill. He said, but look beyond the hill.
Right.
Not just to the hills, but look to the hill, the one that made the hill. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Look to the creator of the hill. Look to your source.
Right.
Look, I told you today, when I think about 5 o'clock this morning, I was talking about this same message. I said, you know what? When I went through back in 06, I'm going to tell you no lie, Saints. I was perplexed. I said, God, why am I going through this? My ex-wife lied on me, had me locked up in jail. And I lied, that really hurt me. And I said, God, but I know you can get me out. And just like I said, God got on me again, had me locked right back up the same day. And God miraculously got me right out. See, that's the God that we serve. Somebody might lie on you, hoodwink you, and knows you to be in something. But God is bigger and greater and stronger. And you keep your faith in him. He said, there ain't no good thing what I will hold with you. You know what the police officer told me? He said, preacher, you read out last night, but you ain't getting out this time. Guess what? The next morning, 9 o'clock, I was out of jail. God did. Why? Because I looked at him and I didn't look at the suffering. You want to get rid of your suffering tonight? Turn your life over to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And watch him work it out for you. Watch him. Don't take my word for it. Just watch him.
Amen.
Look at something else here. In Psalms 49 and 8 from the New Living Testament, what does it say to
you? Redemption does not come so easily, but no one can ever pay enough.
You can't get enough to get out of it. That's why you need God.
Amen.
You can't pay enough to get out. You don't make enough. Your insurance ain't going to get you out. You need Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one. Look at something else. Freedom, I talked about it. What else is it?
By definition, freedom means self-disposal and independence of others.
I got to be free. And I can't be free going through these situations.
Right.
So in order for me to be free, Christ got to deliver me from it.
Amen.
So if I can't do it myself, he's going to do it. Number one, the sense of what?
This sense is partly fashioned by the contrast to slavery. Slaves belong to others, not themselves.
See, the devil wants you to believe that you got to stay where you are. And see, that's a slave mentality. Did you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
To believe that this is it. I'm going to die. This is it. I'm not going to get healed. This is it. I'm not going any further.
Wow.
That's a slave mentality. And see, God set you free from that. Number two, slavery is what?
Slavery is accepted as an institution.
So some people accept it. Well, Pastor Stark, this is just my limit. This is my way, you know. I've been living all right, but you're not. I'm a family that dies early. Our genes.
Wow.
And this is the way it is.
Wow.
But both theoretically and practically only for those who are politically free. See, if you're not politically free, You're going to die in your situation. And you're not going to get out of it. Because your heart is you do. Number three, it is what?
It is the freedom of the politeia as an association of the free.
You got to believe that you're free. Say if you got a joint reef in your hand or a cigarette, and you want to be delivered, say when you got it in your hand, but we're going to eat my, say, Lord, thank you for healing me. Thank you for taking this taste from me. Thank you for, because I despise cigarettes. It's the same way with when you're going through something. You got to say, Lord, thank you for delivering me. I hate this situation. God, this is not what I want. And watch God deliver you. Watch it. Look at something else here. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, what is that message about?
Now it's up to you. Be on your toes, both for yourself and your congregation of sheep. The Holy Spirit has put you in charge of these people, God's people they are, to guard and protect you. It's hard to get them. God himself thought they were worth dying for.
Saints, listen. Honey, you know what? That verse is so powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that's listening to me tonight, God already ordained that you are worth dying for. And you're worth delivering. So God don't want you bound. That one verse tells us that everyone that he put me over, those that listen to this radio broadcast, you that listen to this broadcast, God gave me his word to give you so that you know that you are worth him giving his life for.
Amen.
As he gave his life for you, you are successful. You know, it may be detained,
mm-hmm.
but it's surely going to come for the night. Mm-hmm. But you are coming to the morning.
Right.
Your blessing is about, Jesse Jackson said, it's morning time. You're about to come out of this situation.
Amen.
I'm telling somebody tonight. You're on the eve of your breakout, your breakthrough. Honey, I want you to pray for the people just for a few minutes. Just in a few minutes. But y'all gather around the radio. I want you to put part of the contact. Just touch your radio. And you that's looking on live stream, just and I'm going to ask my wife to pray.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, for this opportunity to come before you once again and call on you. And Lord, we're crying out, oh God, for my husband's sister's word tonight, that in order to go through the suffering, God, we return to you, oh God. And tonight we are turning to you. So many people are going through, oh God, especially this time of year. And so many have lost loved ones, so many are struggling with just the idea of Christmas, oh God. Help us just remember that it's really about you. And we turn it to you now, oh God, to offer and judge our faith, oh God. The word says you're good, Father. When you look towards us, you're always taking care of us. You have the ability to maintain us, oh God. We are high maintenance, oh God. You have the ability to take care of you. You have redeemed us. And right now, let your people turn to you, look to you. Lord, save them tonight. Someone needs to be saved. Save them, oh God. Someone needs to be healed. Heal them. Someone's a backslider. They need to come back to you, oh God. Bring back the backslider. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, oh God, for my husband and for this word that you have given them tonight. For this Christmas season, oh God, let someone come to you, oh God, tonight.
Hallelujah. Now, say so, God, you may be going through, but it's a good thing. I preached the message one time. I might be going through. But I'm not stuck. You know, there's a difference between being stuck and going through. You're not stuck. You're going through. And that's a good thing, that you're not stuck. So, listen, I want y'all to get ready to believe God for the supernatural tonight. We're going to believe God for the supernatural with you. Things are happening. The Bible says in Amos chapter 9, verse 13, it happens so fast. Make your head swim. God's going to bring you out. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians, I think the 11th chapter, it talks about God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And he takes the weak things to confound, to outdo the debate, the strong things. You know, that's what God does. And so it may look like that you can't get out. It may appear that you can't get out. But I come to tell you tonight, you are at the right place at the right time, because the Lord Jesus is going to bring you out. Listen, we want to hear from you tonight. You may not see us on the internet all the time, but we still want to hear from you. You might get my ears on the radio. Take a listen to this. Not to that. Take a listen to this. It's my wife.
Well, praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for being our special guest on the broadcast tonight. We got to go. Give me the lead here. We'd love to hear from you. You can make all correspondence out to Jesus Save Ministry, 1007 West Arlington Boulevard, Greenville, North Carolina. Zip code 27834. Or you can email us at gojesusnow@aol.com. Or you can go on our website, www.tjfm.org. Or you can call us, 252-689-6172. Remember, whatever you give to this broadcast, it will always be used for the winning of souls. We got to go. Father, Lord, and Savior, so until the next broadcast, remember that Jesus loves you, and I do too. Never, ever give up. Jesus is on your side. Take care.
Praise the Lord. My name is Evangelist Charlene Scott. And although you may not hear us on the radio, you can always find our broadcast both live and archived on the internet at livestream.com/TJSM509 or blogtalkradio.com/TJSM. Again, you can find our broadcast both live and archived on the internet at livestream.com/TJSM509 or blogtalkradio.com/TJSM. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless.
I mentioned to you about when you had that, well, you had three strokes, right? It wasn't easy, was it? But you didn't ever give up. When you see, that's what we're telling you tonight. You may suffer something, but you got to keep looking to God. I mean, a stroke ain't nothing to play with now. I mean, your mouth was twisted. You couldn't walk. You kept biting your tongue, biting your lip, biting your mouth, because your limbs and your body was out of whack. And God regulated it. I asked him when we got married last year, you were walking with a cane. You forgot that? And I said, baby, you don't need that cane. But you have been walking with that cane how many years?
15, before then I
was
walking with a walker.
You was walking with a walker, and you finally got a cane.
Mm-hmm.
And we got married last year in July.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, baby, you ain't going to need that cane no more.
Yes, you do.
And how long did you walk with that cane?
About 2 months.
And now you don't use no cane.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know where it's at.
No, I know where it's at, but I don't need it.
You don't need it no more.
Yeah.
And you walk faster than I do. To God. That's what I'm trying to tell people. How do you get over something is you look to God.
You must look to God.
You got to give your life to Him.
Definitely.
Admit I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But He can do it for me.
That's the key.
Mm-hmm. I cannot do it. But God can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all hear what I said? I can't do it. But God can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. Lord, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it, Lord. But you know, honey, you know, if I never preach again, I just want the people to hear tonight to know that if they look to Jesus in their suffering, He's going to make it all right. My Christmas on the broadcast last night. Christmas is about Jesus.
Yes, it is.
He's the one that brought healing, restoration, and deliverance.
Yes.
And your problem that you're going through, if you look to Jesus right now, I can't tell you He's going to move like that,
right.
But I know He can do it. See, God can do it just like that. But I don't know He's going to do it like that. But I do know this. If you trust Him, He won't let you down.
That's true.
He won't let you down.
He does not.
He's not a man that He should lie. Neither is He the Son of Man that He got to repent.
Mm-hmm.
If God said it, you bring it to pass. Can I get a witness out here to somebody? Listen, baby, I tell you, I really got to go. I wish I could stay here a little longer, but the clock on the wall was telling me that my 90 seconds, she said, you got to get up and get out of here. So we're going to go, and we'll see you tomorrow night, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I love you. 252-214-0799 if you'd like to speak to me. All right, if I go up there. Have a good evening.
Praise you and God bless you. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast. You're listening to the Wake Up to Jesus broadcast. Come to you from the Jesus Saved Ministry right here in Greenville, North Carolina. 7 West Arlington Boulevard, 27834. Telephone number 252-689-6172. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And the Lord has blessed you. This broadcast is a blessing to you. We ask you to be a partner with us. Whatever you do,
where shut your heart
to sow into this ministry, we will greatly appreciate it. It goes at 252-689-6172 tonight. We're here in Greenville. Stay tuned and be blessed. That's what God got to bless you with your name.
That's what God got to bless you. Your name is Jesus.